time, we will have our reading lesson from the Gospel according to St. John. Beginning in chapter 6, verse 1. Again, this is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now these words. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there for his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who have eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force, make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So for the past few weeks, we've been following the footsteps of Jesus as we make our way to Jerusalem for Holy Week, when he would give himself for us and die on the cross. And in John's Gospel, we've been following a series of miraculous signs he revealed to his disciples. We start off, of course, with Cana turning to water and to wine. And then a little later, you had the official who came down from Capernaum to Cana and asked Jesus to heal his son, which Jesus did from a distance. And then last Sunday, we saw Jesus in Jerusalem, where he asked the man by the pool, "Now, do you wish to be made well?" And he healed him. The man got up and walked away, and then turned around and turned Jesus into the local authorities. Got him in trouble. This Sunday, we're seeing where Jesus is doing a sign that involves thousands of people. And so, it starts off by saying he's the Sea of Galilee, and then a little side note tells us this is also called the Sea of Tiberias. The Herods who lived there, the Herod brothers, they renamed the Sea of Galilee the Sea of Tiberias after the Roman Emperor Tiberius. They were trying to get on his good side, and so they just went around just renaming things in his honor. So if you go there today, nobody calls it Sea of Tiberias. We just call it Sea of Galilee, which it should be named. And there was large crowds there. And it says that Jesus sees this large crowd that was coming to him. And then he asked Philip one of his little questions. Now, remember last Sunday, I said Jesus asked that guy, it's going to be considered a dumb question. "Do you wish to be made well?" But then I said, sometimes as a teacher, I ask students dumb questions because I want them to stop and think about it. Like when I ask them, "Are you planning to graduate?" Amberly, that's a dumb question. But if I ask you that because I want you to think about, are you doing your homework and assignments and getting your credits in, all those little puzzle pieces, and passing your civics test and fill out your FAFSA and all that good stuff? And so Jesus asked another one of his little dumb questions to mess with his disciples a little bit. So he turns to Philip. "Philip, where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat? And Philip looks out at the audience, at the crowd. Okay. And we have at least 5,000. Different translations will say 5,000 men or say a crowd of 5,000. We'll just say 5,000 to keep it simple. All right. 5,000 people. How can we imagine that here in our community? All right, question. At the Central High School gym, what is the maximum amount of people allowed to be in that gym?
1,200.
Too high. What do you think, Josh? 500? No. All right. Yeah, it's too many. I think a few times we broke the rule, but the reason I know this is when I go to the gym, I see that little sign, and it always makes me chuckle. By order of the fire marshal, this gym can hold no more than 1,499 people. Now, I don't know why I got 1,499 instead of even 1,500, but that's what he said, okay? All right, so I'm going to round up, 1,500, okay? Now, several of you have been in that gym when there's been at least 1,500. Remember last May when Cadence graduated? I mean, that place is packed out. And bless my heart, I'm running the sound back there. That's stressful doing that for graduation because that's like that thing's even possessed as it is, you know. And so, do some math here. So if Central Gym, when it's packed out at the maximum occupancy during graduation, is even 1,500. Right, let's do some math here. Jimmy, you can do math. So 1,500 plus 1,500 is 3,000. Another 1,500 is 4,500. And that still leaves 500 to go. So when Jesus is talking to Philip about these people, you got to imagine at least 1, 2, 3 Central High School graduation ceremonies going on, plus another 500 people. And that's just if they're just 5,000 people altogether. If it's 5,000 men or families, you're talking about even more folks. And so Jesus just asked this question, said, Philip, we're going to buy the fine bread to feed these people. Now, imagine you were at 3 Central High School graduation ceremonies, plus 500 more folks. And I just looked at you and said, we're going to find the food to buy for all these people to eat. Well, you might be like old Philip. You could scratch your head and think, well, it'll take 6 months of my paycheck. Let's buy a donut. Look at all these people. I was like, what are you thinking? Now, the author says he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. So again, when Jesus asks these dumb questions, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He already knows the answer. He just wants to get you to think about it. And so Philip looks at him like, well, boss, this is impossible. I mean, you know, even when we went out to a local bakery, they wouldn't have enough donuts and bread to feed all these people, even just a little bit. And then Andrew shows up. Now, remember I told you earlier how Andrew and Philip are buddies because they often appear together in John's Gospel, and they'll appear again during Holy Week. And so Andrew, Simon's brother, shows up, and he says, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But why are they among so many people? So that'd be like we had 1, 2, 3 ceremonies going on plus 500 people. Andrew says, oh, by the way, I got Blake here in his lunchbox. And they ever packed him 3 sandwiches and some tuna fish. You know, I don't know how much good that's going to do us and all these people. You know. So Andrew at least found somebody who had some food. But he's like, that won't do any good. I mean, look, there's 5,000 people. And we got a kid's lunchbox here. And so he asked the question, but why are they among so many people? Now, that's really the wrong question to ask Jesus. Now, the question is, you know, what good is this? The question is, Lord, what can you do what we got? And so Jesus says, make the people sit down. So you see some organization. All right, everybody sit down. You know, it's kind of like here in church, every once in a while, I'll raise my hands up so folks know the same doxology, or I tell you to sit down. And after the hymn, I tell everybody to sit down because, you know, I don't want folks to get worn out before I get up here to speak. So everybody sit down, sit down, sit down. And then it said, then Jesus took the loaves. Now, in my mind, when I'm envisioning this, I don't think he walked up, I'm going to pick on you, Blake, and say, hey, kid, give me your lunch. But I think he kind of knelt down, because now I used to read to elementary kids, and I always, when I talked to him, I would kneel down, get on their level, and I think Jesus asked for his name, said, what's your name? He's like, my name's Blake. And then I think Jesus said, Blake, may I have your lunch that I may feed this crowd? And Blake might think, hold on, Jesus, this is my lunch. Right? You might be thinking, well, how's this going to work? But this little boy, we'll pick on, say his name's Blake. That's a good Jewish name, right, Blake? Says, right? Yes, teacher. Yes, rabbi. You can have it. And so here's Jesus with this kid's lunchbox. And what does he do? When he had given thanks, or as he thanked his heavenly Father for the food they had. Now, and he did, he distributes. That sounds familiar. Think about when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, how he gave thanks and then broke the bread. Later on, when at Emmaus on Easter Sunday night, when Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Later on, when this past summer, talking about the Apostle Paul being on the boat, getting ready to sink, and he gathered the men together and took the bread and broke it, thanks God, and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. And said, you need to eat up and get your strength because we got a long night ahead of us. Jesus gave thanks. In the situations you're alive, you should always give thanks for what you have. Even if it's just a kid's lunchbox, it's all you got in the fridge. You give the Lord the thanks. And he distributed them to those who received it, and also the fish, and the much as they wanted. And so, in our other Gospels, we learned that when Jesus did it, he gave it to his disciples and said, go feed them. So again, imagine the situation. We've got three Central High School graduation ceremonies, plus 500 people. And they'll say, there's Jesus. So Jesus takes Blake's lunchbox, gives thanks. And then he turns over and says, Herb, you feed this 1,500. And Josh, you take this sandwich and feed this 1,500. Marvin, here's you a sandwich. Go feed this 1,500. Now, if you're a disciple, what do? I mean, you're like, do what you're told. And you know they had to be thinking, now how's this going to work? And I think what happened was that they broke it and gave it to TR, for example. And then TR says, well, I know Deborah's hungry, so I'll give her some of mine. Breaks it off. Deborah's like, well, I know Dino's hungry. I'll give him some. Dino shares it with Amber Lee. Amber Lee shares it with Blake. Blake shares it with Jima. Jima shares it with Tina. Tina shares it with Josh. And what are they doing? They are taking, the crowd is, breaking the bread, the fish, and sharing to the person next to them. And it keeps going and going and going and going and going. Now, we know from the laws of physics that's not supposed to happen, correct? If you guys are having teenagers with pizza boxes, right, it doesn't happen that way, does it? What was it, last August, I think it was, had a little pizza party here, and I went to my other church and came back, and all the pizza was gone, right? It didn't work for me then. But when Jesus blessed his food, the people kept sharing and sharing and sharing. And when they got finished, they had 12 baskets left over. And when I say baskets, I don't talk about some little kid's lunchbox. I'm talking about a huge basket, one for each disciple to take with them. Now, what about us in our own lives? Do we miss out on opportunities of generosity because we think, well, I mean, I can't do much and it wouldn't amount to much? And And we can let the old devil talk us out of being a blessing to other people because of our lack of faith. But when you have faith and an attitude of gratitude, like Jesus did, that little blessing you'd have can be a blessing to others. And in my own personal life, I read a story on mine about how 10 years ago, I was in the Madisonville Public Library at that point, and I was getting ready to do my annual job hunting, you know, for a job that had insurance and all that good stuff, and retirement. And back then, I would read to the different Head Starts and daycare centers in Madisonville. The First Baptist had one. There was a Head Start Mount Verde Kids Care. And I read to the Madisonville Primary School preschoolers, and then I would go back again and read to the teacher's kids, okay? And so on one occasion, I was down there, and the Madisonville Primary School kids, they had a teacher named Miss Kelly, and then had the teacher aides, and they were always fun to be with. I always enjoy being with them. And I went there one time in the spring, and this little girl, she gave me a ring, a plastic ring with Captain America on it. And I said, well, thank you. And I was showing it to one of the teacher aides, and she said, well, Mr. Tim, because they call me Mr. Tim, so let me tell the story behind that. We had a little birthday celebration, and one of the parents brought in cupcakes. And so after she finished eating her cupcake, she licked the icing off the ring, looked at it, and said, I'm going to give this to Mr. Tim. Now, it was interesting because some time earlier, I went there to read to them, and they were gathering around listening to me get ready to read, and this kid had on a Captain America t-shirt. And I made a mistake saying, I really like that t-shirt. That's Captain America. And that was a mistake because the kid next to him said, do you like my shirt? And I said, yes, I like your shirt too. It has this. And then someone else popped, do you like my shirt? I'm like, yes, I like your shirt. And so I ended up just going kid by kid, row by row, talking about their shirt, how much. Yeah, teens laughing at me, right? It's like amateur, you know. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But I told them how much I liked each of their shirts. Each one's like, you like my shirt? I'm like, oh, I love that shirt, you know. Little pink shirts and ponies and rainbows and trucks and then just whatever they had on. But she remembered I liked the Captain America shirt. And so she got that ring, licked the icing off, held on to it, and gave it to me. Well, sometime later, I was at a elementary school doing a job interview. And so they were interviewing me, and it was, and at one point, the question came up, you know, how well I would respond to kids, you know, and there was three folks interviewing me, and they kind of got off on a little tangent, talking to them among themselves. And I reached in my shirt pocket, and I pulled out that Captain America ring and set it on the desk. And they said, well, what's this? And I said, well, let me tell you the story, you know. And so they got things back on track, and they were very complimentary about that, you know. And while I didn't get that job, it was a good interview, and it set me up for my next interview, and I got interviewed for Central High School. Now, think about that. What can a preschooler do for somebody in his early 30s? Well, they can't do anything. She's just a little kid. And a little ring, a little plastic ring, made in China, that she licked the icing off. What good is that? But look what the Lord did with it, though. I put that ring in my shirt pocket that morning for the interview and pulled it out. And when I thought that interview hit a low point, it turned everything around and gave it a second wind. You don't know what the Lord can do with you. And so often you let doubt, disbelief, the devil, the three bad deeds get hold of you, mess your head, and you miss out on being a blessing to someone else. What if that little guy said, sorry, teacher, this is my lunch, I'm going to keep it. we wouldn't have this miracle. And what happened was that kid went, saw what happened and went, oh my goodness, you know. Went home, told his folks. I don't know, can you imagine that, Blake, telling your folks that, you won't believe this, but this guy took my lunch and fed 5,000 people with it. I hope they were there. Mom and Dad might not have believed it. You know? And what a blessing he was. One little boy had the faith to give Jesus his lunch. And Jesus took it, thanked his Heavenly Father, broke it, gave it to the disciples, said, give this to the people. The people began to share it. And that blessing multiplied to all the people. What can God use in your life that can be a blessing to others, that will have that kind of ripple effect where it blesses this person, and then their person, and their person, and their person? Think about that. And now, speaking about breaking the bread, I want to invite you to open your hymnal to page 12 as we come time for communion. And I'm going to come around and I'm going to serve you the elements. And I'm going to come back up here and lead you in worship. And for anyone in the parking lot, my right man, hand man, Clint's going to come by with some elements for you.